Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio. Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X ambassador, Kendra Maples. Today, I have three amazing and lovely people in the studio today. We have Vanessa Check, who is the founder and president of 99 Boone. Dat Quack, who is the co-founder and VP of 99 Boone. And then we have Tina Clemens, who is the owner of De Novo Scan Thermography. Don't worry, we'll talk about what all of these things are. But first, I'm going to hand it over to you guys. I obviously have some notes about your background and your companies, but I want you to be able to share that with everybody. So, Vanessa, let's start with you.
Okay. We are a business intelligence solution company. We actually help companies answer critical business questions. We really play an essential role in their decision support. And what that means is we help them get insight, establish a 360 view of their business and organizations so that they can make intelligent decision whether they want to have a vision change, process change, the type of policy change so that they can have a breakthrough performance in their business transformation.
Awesome. And you guys started this company together.
Yes.
So, Dat, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and kind of how you got connected into this with Vanessa?
Well, how we got connected is we've actually went to school together and studied computer information system at DeVry, and do our cooperation and project deliverables. We came to a point where we decided, hey, maybe we need to do something together. And that's why 99 Boone exists.
Awesome. I love that. And then Tina, I'm very excited about hearing more about your company, but tell us a little bit about you and how it started.
Well, I was a registered dietitian back in the early 90s. And when I went into work into the hospitals, I was like, what have I done? I didn't like it at all. They didn't care about food. It was all about pills and surgery. I ended up leaving that, long story short, was financing medical equipment for years. And when 2008 happened, it was like, oh, you know, I just wanted a change. So I ended up discovering thermography, which it's breast thermography is how it all got started back in the 50s. And what it is a thermal camera. You know how the Boston bombing suspect was found under the boat cover? Do you remember that? It was with a thermal camera.
Yeah.
They found his body heat underneath the boat cover using a thermal camera. So it's like I just say to people, I find bombing suspects in your body with my thermal camera. So what it's looking for is heat or blood, you know, it's heat from blood flow to an area that's kind of concentrated that might be blood to a tumor, inflammation, infection, that sort of thing. So it's radiation free, it's touch free, and a lot of women are using that as an option for breast screening. So it's catching early stages pretty quickly.
And I feel like this is something that and maybe this is the naive part of me, but I haven't heard of this. Why is this something not as common? Or
yeah.
Maybe it is, and we're just not hearing about
it. Well, I've been doing this for 7 years. I started the business 7 years ago, and there's 4 million people in the Valley?
Mm-hmm.
And I maybe have touched a quarter of that. I mean, not even a quarter.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So there's still a whole world out there. It's been around since the 50s. It was FDA approved as an adjunct for breast screening in 82. And it's making its way back into the spotlight, at least over the last 7 years, because, you know, there's not a lot of good news out there about mammograms. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
There's been studies. They followed 90,000 women over 25 years, and the studies showed that it didn't matter. There was no difference. They weren't saving more lives by doing mammograms. It was like the same amount of people were getting cancer, the same
mm-hmm.
amount of people were dying, whether you got a mammogram or not. So it's just a safer adjunct for breast screening. And periodontal, thyroid. You can see all kinds of other things.
That is so crazy. So right before we went on the air, you started to tell a story. And I said, no, don't say it
yet.
Yeah,
Vanessa and I were talking about it. She's like, I read that article. It was in Fox News last week, October 23rd. And it was a story about a British lady that went into a museum over in Scotland. And it was like a camera museum, but different cameras. And they walked into the thermal imaging camera room. And she noticed it has a picture. There was something, because in thermography, what you're looking for is symmetry or asymmetry for the, you know, warning signs. And she noticed that there was something on one side of her chest and wasn't on the other. And she, long story short, she had gone to her doctor and she was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer. So I said, thermography works, people.
Yeah.
So
you need to do like follow-ups and be like, see?
Yeah, see?
This is the real thing. That is fantastic.
It's been really great. I get to help people and in a good way.
Yeah. Awesome. And Vanessa and Dat, you guys help people, but in a different way.
Yes.
So you've kind of mentioned a little bit about the company and kind of how it got started. But both of you have been in kind of the tech industry and whatnot for a long time. Tell me a little bit about that. And Vanessa, especially with you being a female in the tech industry, you know, Tina, I'm sure you're seeing that, being a female and taking a stance in that tech industry. But tell me a little bit about, you know, how you got to where you are with the background that you guys have. There's a lot listed on my notes and a lot of companies you've been part of.
Right. My IT background is go way back in 96. I probably one of the many first women in the industry. When I graduated, I worked with like 9 other male engineer developers, and they are much older. I was like 25 at that time, and they're like 30, 40. But, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I have done, I was actually pre-selected before I was graduating college. As a junior, I was pre-selected by Wells Fargo to go work with their senior team. Yes. So I have extensive experience in networking, and then I move into developing applications and then project lead, and then move into business intelligence, which is data analytics and things like that. And oftentimes, Dad forget to mention that because we met, you know, in college. So we were partner in project. He would take half of the project, like, you know, and I would take the other part. And so we can combine our code and then we would just deliver, you know, a project together. And we even, like, we work really good together. We have projects that we've done for the city as a senior project that as a requirement before we graduate. So we've been working, and through our career at the beginning and even now, before we start 99 Boone, we would have come back and said, wow, you know, we saw this happen with companies that they don't have solutions or what they are facing. And with the data that they have and solutions, they got caught up in just fixing the day-to-day firefights, and they're not focusing on moving the company forward. Mm-hmm. So we're like, there must be a solution out there. There wasn't none at the time. So we say, let's just start something. Let's just start something. So we got together and we create 99 Boone. And our mission is to help company moving forward so that they don't have to worry about managing process, developing or support. We can do that for them.
That is fantastic. And you mentioned business intelligence and you said it's kind of data solutions. Dat, do you want to elaborate on what that really means? I'm a very non-technical person. I do a lot of buttons over here, but.
Well, business intelligence takes a company's data and align it with their business goals. In a sense, you can kind of look at it as trying to understanding your business through your data. How well you're doing with revenue, where is your expenditure, who are your top 20 customers that's actually, you know, making all the money that you need for your company to operate. What you can even get into even more advanced analytics to predict your project, your budgets, predict budget, predict expenses. Part of that is getting into predictive analytics, which a lot of companies are becoming more aware of what's going on, learning more about customer behavior, what they like to buy, what is trending, what products are really selling and or not selling, which products are higher cost to them and they're not earning as much. And also getting into understanding what is actually providing the higher profit margin for your company so that mm-hmm. you can determine what product to actually keep more of in your company and boosting more sales.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
I guess when when people ask me what is business intelligence, I can tell them that. It's getting the right information to the right people at the right time. Mm-hmm. And we do it through integrating the data that is available to us to solve critical business question. And having all your business data, regardless of platform, in a unified singular dashboard. For example, business intelligence help you have customer information on your CRM. You got email marketing, you got website engagement, you have customer interactions on chat tools like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all that integrated in a holistic view of your customer interaction mm-hmm. with your business, especially today with the complexity of global branding and the advent of social media. You don't want to be the second person to know about your customer issue. And you want to make sure that you have those information. For example, business intelligence can help company like a call center. They want to have a real-time answer to their scheduling efficiency. If they anticipate 10,000 call volumes coming in today and only 90% of their staff showing up, they want to know that immediately. They want to respond that to put more agent into on call so that they can lower down call volumes and abandon rate, which lead to sales loss or even bad customer service where can hurt their reputation. So another example, like companies like manufacturers or pharmaceutical, they have hundreds if not thousands of products, but they want to know which product that make them the most money. Mm-hmm. And by looking into their data, we can tell them, even though they have a product that listed number one bestseller, but they only earn 2% margin, as opposed to a product where listed number 50, they earn 35%. Profit margin. Now the company have that insight. They can actually make an intelligent decision of saying, should I concentrating on lowering my product cost, probably better product source, better product vendor, or do I want to spend more marketing dollar on advertising the high profit margin? They want to know that. And we can even go further of saying which customer, they want to know which customer do the company expense the most in delivering products and services. One that require them so much resources and the other one not so much, but yet earning the same profit margin. Where are those variances? So that they can make intelligent decision to pivot and optimize their operation. So that's where business intelligence come in.
So what does that process look like when you get a new client as far as like that engagement with them? What does that look like?
Well, we first conduct an assessment, right? Mm-hmm. We understand it's through a questionnaire. We understand where their data structure is, help them define their business challenge, and help them align with the type of solutions that they want to achieve with their business goal. Once that happen, then we can determine if we're the right fit for them, if we can provide that solution. If it is, then we can draft out a plan. We meet with them, sit them down, go over the plan, and answer any questions they may have. Once they agree to the business agreement or confirm, then we start the development process.
And through the development process, what we'll do is we'll have like a kickoff meeting, and then we'll determine who's involved in the project. We'll also schedule meetings, determine project timeline, milestones, deliverables. We will meet with the business groups to determine what are the business rules and business definitions. Then I'll hand it off to the development team to start coding. What they'll do is once they've complete the development, we'll get into the user testing stage where the users will test out the full solution, how it's working, how the how it feels. Once the company approves that they like what they see and everything is working the way they expected, then we'll get into the training process. Actually, before the training process, we actually implement the solution into the system. Then we'll start the training process. Throughout the process, we are available 24/7 to answer any questions or concerns that the company may have. So,
that's fantastic. I love it. It's
over my head,
right? I'm like, I always love asking these questions because I'm not the technical person. So no, I've learned to appreciate, you know, individuals and companies like you guys that can come in and help with the process that's going
on. We really handhold our customer from the beginning to the end because we understand that we are the first, you know, group that introduced them to BI solution. So we take pride in that and helping them process and learning how to utilize the solutions to pivot and to grow. That's very important because, you know, we have a lot of pride in that. Like, we are the first that they are engaged with learning how to utilize BI solutions. So we would handheld you from the beginning to the end. So always there's project lead, project manager there can help you answer where we're at in their development. If any questions, 24/7 that we can help answer that.
That's awesome. I love that. And then, so I want to pivot a little bit back to Tina about with the work that you're doing. I want the listeners to know a little bit more. Is it with your company, is it one location, or are you putting this in process with other locations across the valley?
Well, we have one office in Scottsdale. It's been there 7 years, but we also have a remote office in Mesa. So we do scans in the East Valley as well, but we just purchased an extra camera package and we're going to be hiring someone to go out and do the mobile side of things. You know, doctor's offices that want to offer it in their own office, but they don't want to put out the expense or train somebody. And, you know, we'll go and do the scans. It's easily transportable. So we're going to be pretty much available everywhere.
That's fantastic. What areas of the valley are you guys already kind of doing this? I mean, obviously you're going to reach more people once it's mobile.
Well, what's interesting to kind of segue about how they helped me was they were pulling data that I had offered them. I needed to know where my people were coming from, how they were finding me, and I wanted to see what those trends looked like so that I could do more of that and not focus on the, you know, the kind of the low-hanging fruit. What do you call it? I wanted to take advantage of
the ideal customer.
Yeah.
So the one
focus
that,
more on that. So that's where they helped me by kind of weeding all that information out. It was kind of cool. But we're in Scottsdale, so we're kind of covering that part of the valley, and then it's kind of far, Mesa. It's like University and Rucker, but we're out there. So
I wanna add that to Tina is that by looking at her data when we work on her for her company, one of the solutions we want to show it to her is that, you know, if she have a specialized services, right? Probably one in the country, and if someone that if looking through her her client where they're coming from, if someone that is from New York, willing to fly over to Arizona to get that service, not saying that it now it's different. Now you have market in New York, right? If they're willing to fly that far, what type of doctors have been referred the clients to you, and if we can go out in our area to find those
more of those same
doctor that can establish some type of referral programs then now she can focus her marketing dollar precisely because we know that, hey, these type of doctor offer their clients non-invasive type of service. So other doctor would have the same thing. So then her marketing dollar is precise, not just Google click or things like that where you have no measure. That's what business intelligence is. This is like you have the intelligence to make making the intelligent decision of where to really focusing your marketing dollar.
So where they do really large, they help really large like imaging companies, you know, that are $1 billion companies where I'm just little old me. And I'm like, but what? I don't think the information I'm going to give you is going to be, what are you going to pull from this? It's just this little database. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty amazing. I mean, they could do little businesses to like giant businesses. So it's pretty impressive.
And how long did that process take to, I mean, you were gathering some pretty detailed information. And like you said, Tina, you're like, how are you really going to pull?
What are you going to pull? I mean,
I've expressed to Tina, hey, you give me all you got, you know, you whether it's on Excels, whether you have your informations that she's using, what is it, ZocDoc, that companies like, you know, making appointments online to doctor's appointment, all those informations, and we pull together and we can analyze and said, hey, you know, during this month, you have so many people making an appointment and where are they coming from, right? And we can even go down to understand the customer demographic. Who is it really? What age group is
What's
it more?
Their income bracket?
Right.
Yeah.
That way she can focusing on her ideal clients, just like the manufacturer company. What customer do they expense the most in servicing and delivering product as opposed to the customer that they don't expend, you know, so much and yet earning the same profit? Maybe we want to focus on that kind of customer, the demographic, the income range that they're willing to pay for that kind of service.
It's kind of like I think of Facebook and how they collect so much information on a client. I can't even, can you imagine their business intelligence information? Yeah. I mean, like how they.
Oh my gosh, they need you guys.
They know what color underwear you're wearing. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
We're the people behind that. Yeah. Right. Just say, for example, when you go on to Amazon, right, and you were clicking on certain product and saying you want to buy that, and then suddenly they offer you something else because they understand the type of customer buying behavior. Hey, this type of customer willing to buy this type of product, they were willing to buy other kind of product. Mm-hmm. And they can even go down to, testing and price anchor if they're willing to buy this at this price. And you come back 30 minutes, hey, it's a different price. So they do that in the background. And that's what business intelligence, that's what we do in the background to help company.
I feel like there's a lot of magic tricks that I'm falling for.
Totally. It's amazing when I talk about data and analytic with him, we could talk all night. It's funny though, because I told people that 20 years ago, right? They asked me what I do for a living, and I said I'm a network engineer. I work at home, remote and over Wi-Fi. And my parent thinks, it's like, what is that, right? My parent thinks that I do something illegal for a living. I don't have to go to work and I have to, And I say, yeah, that's what I did. They don't really get it. Now, Wi-Fi is like common knowledge where you go to a cafe and everybody expects to log on. But I move along with technology, but I'm still in the same position. I tell them what to do. Like, what is that? It will be a common knowledge.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Well, and same thing with what you're doing with the thermography. Like these are going to become more of a common, well-known conversation.
Right.
So with the data and the information that you guys were able to pull, is that what led to you, Tina, wanting it to be a mobile service?
No,
as well?
I've always wanted to do that. I just only had one camera package and there's only one me and I can't be everywhere at once. But as their data has helped me focus on certain areas, I've been able to grow my business enough to buy. I don't do loans. I like to pay cash for everything. So it's allowed me to buy another camera package and they're not cheap.
Yeah.
So now I just have to find the right person that will go out there and do it, that wants to do it. So the correlation has helped a lot.
Does that service cost anything to the individual who's, say, at the doctor's office and wants that provided to them? or is it something that they have to do, or is it something that the doctor has to
offer? You mean to come in for a scan?
Yeah.
No, you can come in on your own. You don't need a doctor's order. I find, though, that if you do have a doctor's order, that it's helpful in getting it covered with by insurance, because that there's insurance is starting to come around and cover it. Like, there's a Medicare, which Physicians Mutual, which is a supplement to Medicare, which is a high end supplement. They're covering breast thermography 100% without a deductible. And like Blue Cross Blue Shield has covered a couple of my clients' scans. So it's just, I think it's helpful to have a doctor's order, but you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that gets interpreted, actually. So I'll do the imaging. That those images get sent to Dr. Horner, Christine Horner, who's my reading doctor. She's a former breast surgeon who did reconstructive surgery after mastectomies for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And she is a big, she's seen it all. And she's a big believer in thermography, ultrasound, and MRIs. And that, because mammogram, by the time a mammogram finds something, you already have breast cancer. It just grew big enough to be detected.
Yeah.
So what other things are you doing to kind of search for things?
Is there kind of an order of doing one versus the other, or?
Well, because thermography is not invasive, mm-hmm. there's no pain, there's no squishing, no radiation. You could start that at 16, 17. I always tell moms, like, get your girls started so that you can just stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Girls are carrying their cell phones and their bras all the time, which is horrible. The radiation is real.
Yeah.
There was a 21-year-old girl that was on Dr. Oz. She would always stuff her cell phone in her bra and walk around. And she ended up with breast cancer at 21. It spread to the other side, and she had a double mastectomy, all from that. One of my best friends, he got testicular cancer on the right side, and he swears it's because he carried his cell phone in his front right pocket all the time. So I'm like, get those cell phones off your body.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you're saying to start this when early. They're young. My mom had breast cancer. And so she has now been breast cancer clean, I think 15 years.
That's great.
Yeah. But it was something that she, postponed going in for a mammogram. And finally, it was like 2 years later, she's like, okay, I'll go, I'll get it done. And then they found it. But she was in her 40s when that happened. And so I always let my doctor know, hey, my mom had this. And they kept saying, oh, you don't have to do it, your first one till you're like 35 or 40. And I was like, can I just do it anyway,
right?
Just
right,
to be sure,
right.
It's something that they start so late. So I love that you're saying to start early.
Well,
why
you
not?
Can start with thermography. Now,
yes,
I don't recommend the radiation at an early age because it does the radiation damages the breast tissue, the DNA structure of breast tissue. So they're saying, and actually, a study came out 7 years ago saying they were suggesting women start at 50 with mammograms instead of 40 because they were seeing what that radiation was doing to premenopausal breast tissue wasn't good. So, yeah.
But the thermography doesn't do anything.
It's safe. Now, the difference between mammograms and thermograms, I'll put it out there, because there's a lot of people out there that say that this is a one-stop shop and you don't, it can see everything. Mammograms are looking for calcifications. That's it. Well, when you have dense breast tissue, you can't see calcifications because it can't decipher what's calcification, what's dense breast tissue. It's all white and cloudy. Mm-hmm. Well, thermography, but let me also back up and say not every tumor produces calcium. So mammograms aren't 100%. Thermograms can't see calcifications, but they can see the blood flow.
Yeah.
The asymmetrical blood flow, or like my thyroid issue, I'd gained 40 pounds about 4 years ago within 6 months. And I thought, well, let me turn the camera on to my, let me see. You could see the shape of my thyroid. And I had an ultrasound. It turned out I had calcifications all over my thyroid. Periodontal disease in the mouth, disease in the body. So I've had a lady that had this trailing infection down, and you could see it in the thermal image. It was like just draining down into her chest. It was crazy. So there's a lot of things you can see with thermography. There's a lot of things you can. I always get asked, does this replace a colonoscopy? I'm like, no. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
Gotta do that.
So anyway, yeah, it's been great. Oh my gosh. I've seen 3,000 women over the last few years, and I love that part, just meeting the people. And I've seen more than I thought I would ever see, actually. But it's been so rewarding.
Yeah. Do you ever get to hear about, like, when you find something and you get to tell them and you refer, do you ever get to hear like the stories later?
Yeah, like I'll always say, you know, let me know how, you know, go. Or when you get the get your report back, you'll have the option to talk to me or Dr. Horner. She'll do phone consults. But a handful of women, like there's been times where they're standing there and I'm like, it's obvious. It is so obvious. So you can't like be, you know, you just kind of walk them through.
Yeah.
But there, just recently, a couple, actually about a year ago, this lady hadn't had a mammogram in probably 15 years, older lady. Dr. Horner recognized a hot spot that was not the same on the other side. And the lady went to her doctor and she had breast cancer. So I do know of that story. I know of a couple of others. But yeah, I don't hear from everybody. They just take the report and go. But yeah.
This is where you start implementing operations or procedures in there to get their feedback.
Right.
And then we can analyze that.
Yeah, I know.
We can know that,
the analytical brain. See, I'm the creative.
I'm putting solutions together.
I like to think of what pictures and you know, pretty things I'm going to put out there to advertise. And she's thinking, well, let's do some analytical stuff. I'm like,
let's not spend your money just yet. Let's just figure out where that going to get you, you know, the best ROI.
Right.
You know, how many men, you know, are getting this or versus, you know, female, always a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have male patients as well. And what age group?
I have a funny story. Yeah. Speaking of men, I had a hockey player, but I didn't know he was a hockey player until he came. And we got to, I'd go through the questionnaire and I'm like, so do you have a history of dental issues? And he starts laughing because I the question is, do you have you ever had root canals, implants, non-replaced extractions? And he laughs in his Austrian voice or accent or whatever. He's like, I don't have any of my natural teeth. And I was like, oh, what? And he goes, I'm a hockey player. I'm like, oh, okay. A little, few pucks to the mouth there. That was funny. But yes, I see men too. Either their wives shove them in there or they'll come on their own.
But, you know, once you determine that, you know, you have a market in that area, you know, you could be the, you know, the leader of leading this conversation. Hey, men, mm-hmm. get in there.
Right.
You know, start an initiative. Like men nowadays, you know, they create groups of talking about, you know, their emotions. And you can start that initiative and say, man, you need this. You need to focus on this side of your health.
Well, that reminds me of Beyonce's dad. He, what's his name? Knowles. But, you know, Beyonce, everybody knows B. Yeah. Queen B. Her dad had breast cancer and he's talking about the same thing. He's like, I want to remove the stigma mm-hmm. of men talking about it. Because by the time men realize they have breast cancer, it's too late because they don't think they could get breast cancer. So by the time it's confirmed, it's pretty too, you know, it's too late. But men have breast tissue as well.
Mm-hmm. That would be a conversation that you would, you know, start to, you know, for our community.
Yeah.
By not looking at the customer information. And I can see, hey, you do have men in here, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the age group where they, you know, they start seeing, you know, problems or issues. Or you can go back and ask those men, what make you think that you want to get this done or procedure done? And then you go reach out to that kind of customer
audience, yeah,
and get more of that kind of customer.
So when you're pulling all of that data, this is what I love. I'm not the data person, but I love what happens. When you're pulling all of that data, you can see all of the variations of who, the what, when, where. So then you give these different suggestions, right, of who to reach out to, not only just the specific focus area, what we were saying earlier on who to market to, but you will also give suggestions, right, on the direction to go in.
Correct. Yes, we do. We actually do. And the reason why is sometimes some companies may have the information but don't know really what they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually go through and study their data and actually develop the dashboards, we also provide insights and tell them, hey, this is what we're seeing in your data. You know, these are, you know, your customers seem to be more of the 30 to 40 range. What areas you need to focus on, because that's where all your clients are coming from.
Right.
And how to actually take the initiative to expand.
Mm-hmm.
So with like For example, with the imaging company, we can actually determine where your customers are coming from. Are they within that area that you that your branch is? Or are they actually coming from an area that's a little bit further, 5 miles away, 10 miles away? And if that is, how do you, what's the right path to actually market to those individuals? So we get to a very finite precision of who we want to focus on so that you're actually getting the bang for your buck.
I love that.
Not only that, you can go into so much. We can help like pricing, for example. We can look at the data. And in Tina's case, she wanted to know, you know, the demographic, mm-hmm. the income, right? Some company might say they have a price structure, packages. You can pay upfront for a better deal, or you can make, you know, 3 payments of, you know, X amount of dollar. But if we're looking at the income range, hey, these type of customer, they just pay it up front. They don't need to make, you know, 3 payments. Is that the type, now you can make an intelligent decision. Hey, I want to focus on these type of customer and where are they coming from, their income range, all that, whether they live even, right?
Right.
So we can get into that details of information. And of course, first and foremost, we want to know what are the business objective, what are the business goal. And sometimes companies think they have a business challenge, but they're not really sure how to define it. They know they have problem. They know that they want to grow, but they don't know where the problem is, or they don't know where I need to fix it. So by looking into their information, we give them the 360 view of their business, so that we can help them make intelligent decision to where to pivot, where to put your money, what products that you need to focus on, or even grow. You know, if I want to expand, do I have enough resources, manpower to handle this type of business? What if I start implement the products and yet I don't have support? It would be backfire, you know.
Do you have an example of where maybe you had a company reach out to you and they thought that the problem was one thing, and then after going through all the data and the analytics, you were able to say, actually, no, this is a completely different problem than you thought. Or maybe not.
No, I haven't. the only thing that I can think of is throughout the time that I'm on the field and there are companies trying to implement the solution themselves. Mm-hmm. And what I find is they may not have the experience or the right leadership that has done it over and over successfully. And what they'll do, they'll end up calling me or calling another company and say, hey, what's happening? What's wrong? And we would end up coming in and take over the project and realign their objectives, making sure that it aligns with their goals. And it's answering the business questions that they really want to know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're doing a trial and error. Do you want to spend your time and resources to go through that? It's like most companies will not have a AC repairman right there waiting for the AC to, you know, to break. I can't repair the AC. I'm going to have to call somebody to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's like Vanessa said, it's a 360 view. Right. And it's, I think that outside perspective that's so valuable is it's not something that you could necessarily do in-house.
Yeah, no, we can do further than that. I mean, business intelligence is so critical for executive and business owners is because they can provide an insight to a true health of an organization that otherwise not available or readily available from a profit and loss statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can go into answering questions like what drive the company, what drive your business revenue, how to optimize internal process to increase efficiency and identify market trends. Say, for example, identify where your product's inventory or resources and how well it sells so that you can capitalize on buying trends. It is so important that I believe it's is a standard if anyone wants to stay competitive mm-hmm. in the marketplace.
I have a question. Do you do anything with like employee behavior, that sort of thing? Like you can see what your internal staff is doing to help grow?
Like a radiology that has 20 different locations, we help organize their data. Like say, for example, we're looking into their compliance, you know, their certification, how long they are in the, the X-ray room to see if they spend, you know, time. Do they have, you know, a certain type of gears on correctly? We go deep down to that. And if you don't have that in place, then you need to start gathering those type of information so that we can do, we can analyze it. Sometimes companies say, I want you to answer this question, this business question. Well, if you're not collecting the data, mm-hmm. that's where you need to start. So we can start implementing what type of system that we need to install so that we can collect that data to help them analyze it, even your employee behaviors.
Yeah.
Surveys, you know, how often you take the surveys. What do they think about their place of working? Mm-hmm. And then
morale,
things like that. So by starting collecting the data, then we can analyze it.
Are the systems pretty similar depending on the company? Or does it change if you're working with a retail company or like, Tina, with your company? That's very unique.
Great question. And that is exactly what business intelligence is, mm-hmm. is that we pull all that information regardless of platform. You have cell phones, you have you know, data that, like I said, from LinkedIn and Twitter and interactions on Facebook. And then you have your
revenues.
Websites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have video. Employees. You have all that. You can pull it into your data warehouse and then you can analyze it. And that you can create a holistic view in a unified dashboard about the interaction, your customer interaction with your business. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever heard of someone that gets so upset and they went on, you know, social media and they talk about it and they hashtag or they, you know, tag in your company name.
Scariest thing ever.
You're right. You want to make sure you're answering that question mm-hmm. or answering them. Now we have so many outlets of reaching our customer, right? There are smart buyers. They have so many resources. They can read reviews. They can do research, right? Has so many apps, so many social media, online, offline. Understanding their buying behaviors and preferences and knowing where to spend your marketing dollars and invest in infrastructure to get the ideal customer will save you so much time and money on trial and error.
Mm-hmm. And will then make you more money in return.
That's business intelligence.
Right? And that's business intelligence.
Tina, when they worked with you and they were able to provide to you all kinds of data and analytics, what were some of the things that you changed or maybe altered when you were able to receive
My brain is spinning right now because when she was talking about income, I now offer financing. So now I need to go find those people who can't afford to pay out of pocket and upfront who would do it if they could finance it.
Yeah.
Because it's like 6 months, same as cash. You know, you could pay it. A breast scan's $250, a half body scan's $395, and a full body head to toe is $550. So, you know, people are like, that's expensive. I get my mammogram for free. I'm like, great, go get your radiation. But I'm like, you could, you know, make coffee at home. You could do your own nails. You don't have to go to the spa. You know, there's ways to put the money back for it. It's all about your priorities. You know, don't get your eyelash extension.
Right. One of the shows we had yesterday was talking about credit and debt and everything like that. And people don't necessarily want to pay upfront to have somebody even help them go through that process.
Right.
And it's like, well, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
If it's important to you, stop paying all these other little things,
exactly.
Save your pennies.
So no, that's why now I'm thinking, okay, let's look at the data again and find the people. Where are the people that maybe don't have that income, you know, with the people that can go to their summer home or whatever, who would do it if they could pay over time, mm-hmm. you know, that they didn't have to pay up front. I know there's so many out there like that,
right.
Or that it's not that big of a priority, but they want to do it, but they don't want to, you know, pay all that up front. So that's what I'm thinking now. But to answer your question, I started focusing on you know, the area where there was the income, you know, disposable income. No, you don't dispose of income. Do you? Discretionary income.
And one of the things that I also suggest to Tina was start gathering information from your client.
Yeah.
You know, especially the client that have good results and, you know, willing to be, you know, advocate for your type of service. Ask them why. Why do they want this? Mm-hmm. And even from those that is not satisfied, why? What is it that they're not satisfied?
I do have about 514, maybe 550 five-star reviews.
Woo.
So there's happy customers there going out and saying, I love this. Right. How do you take that data and analyze it? Because it's just, how do you?
Well, you have to, of course, you have to get the information based on you saying, oh, I know they give me good reviews. That's not good enough. You got to have solid data. If they went on Yelp and give you that, we can do gathering the data on Yelp and say how many people are giving you bad review, how many people are not.
Yelp, you know. Google reviews, yeah. And this was the scheduling platform that I was using called MyTime.
Right, right, right.
So they write it in there, so they're valid, you know.
Right.
So I'm just like curious, how do you take that data and what can you do with that?
We can do a lot. I mean, we can gather the reviews and say, for example, one of the back to the radiology for companies that have 20 locations, we gather the information and we found out that most of their customer was complaining about wait time, right? Hmm. And they also complain about when their doctor refer them to, outpatient, refer them to the clinic to get some x-ray done. They would assume that that clinic already have their information. And when they arrive to that clinic, the clinic doesn't have anything. Well, I don't know where your file is at. So that was one thing that, you know, customer complained the most. And when we pull those information, then we can categorize. So how many people complain about wait time? How many people are saying that, you know, the clinic is not ready to receive them, information that, you know, their doctors is not transferring the information to them, to the clinic. Now you can make a decision. I need to set up a system, or I need to contact that particular doctors that keep referring their clients to our clinic. What kind of system that we can put in place so that when you do send somebody over, we can verify whether it's an email, hey, so that we can prepare all the documentation so when they arrive, and we can even contact that customer and say, hey, I see that, you know, Dr. So-and-so set you up with us. We can make an appointment for you right then and there. Going out and install that kind of operating system in mm-hmm. place for the business to better help the customer instead of waiting the customer to call you and make an appointment and say, hey, I need to get an x-ray. You know, hey, we got doctors saying that this customer is coming. Let's have somebody get out on the phone and make that appointment right away.
It just helps
right
you put better systems in place for efficiency and customer satisfaction.
Right.
And you've mentioned that they need to have that data first, though, that they need to be collecting that data. Is there any scenario where folks are gathering too much data? Is there data that people shouldn't be gathering?
There's never be too much data.
This is how
we can always.
This is how Facebook knows our color.
Right.
Like,
let me answer that.
Like
Vanessa says, it's there's never too much data. The more data you collect, the more insight that you can get from mm-hmm. how your company's doing. You can even get data that's not even within your company to kind of understand where you're at, you know, compared to other, like for Tina, for imaging company, where does she stand in the imaging industry mm-hmm. compared to others? You can also look at, Tina was saying, what can I do with, you know, these five-star reviews? Is there anything I can look at that? Well, one is, where are they actually posting those reviews can tell you, oh, what social media they're used to using.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Where do you want that to go? Do you want to start having people post more on Google, on Facebook, on Twitter? And then you can actually implement processes like that to say, hey, could you add a review to Twitter for me? You know, let us know how we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then that will get the customer to say, hey, let me do that for you because they enjoyed the service. And then you'll see more reviews that will actually promote more advertising on Twitter or any other platform.
It helps with Google searches because it's where the terminology that they're using, right. Keywords.
Where do you want your marketing focus? Maybe I want to just focus on Facebook right now because the type of customer that really satisfied with my service is all on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Hey, let me want to expand into Twitter or Snapchat. Then you can start, gaze toward that or establish systems and in place to help expand that. Mm-hmm. But you do it with precision. Yeah.
And it also really depends on your customer focus. What type of customer? Mm-hmm. Are you hitting more family, individuals, anybody that's out there? Facebook could be, the best route. If you're more in regards to the business setting, you want to hit more corporations, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have a lot of corporations.
Like Instagram isn't my platform, right. Because if I were doing like eyebrows and makeup and things like that.
Where you could do photos and stuff.
Yeah, it's not really my audience. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of the 40 to 65, which they're on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So they have the mom groups and, friend. Right. That seems to be the popular platform.
But what an amazing time that we live in where, both of your companies are able to be successful because of the technology we have, where years and years and years ago, I know you said thermography has been around since the 50s, but right. Now it's, the technology is probably so much better.
So much better.
Just the fact that we have the technology for both of these companies to really succeed is phenomenal. So I want to make sure we're going to wrap up in just a little bit. So I want to make sure that we have time for all three of you, whatever kind of last minute thoughts or ideas you want to get out there for everybody. Dad, I'll start with you.
Well, my thought is that I want to kind of bring out is if you really want to understand more about your company, you really need to look into getting some professional assistance from a firm that has good track record. Mm-hmm. So they can actually help you really dive into your data and tell you how you're really doing, what to focus on, because there's going to be times where maybe you're staffing way over staffing and you can actually reduce that cost. There's athletic therapy. You want to make sure that you have enough people to cover these shifts as people come in and go. Are they actually doing, promoting other services? And those actually will end up adding to your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
One thing I want to let companies understand that business intelligence is going to be in your future. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to grow, obviously everybody want to grow their business, it's going to be a stage that you're going to get to. It's just only a matter of when. So the earlier you start, the better, because you want to make sure that you establish the right system, you optimize correctly before you're spending, lots of money and resources and time into, trial and error or into marketing or producing a product that may not, make sense or bring you the bottom line or even help you grow in the right way.
And we are in a customer-centric time where everybody's going to either go on social media and say, hey, I don't like this company. I had bad experience. Or they're going to say, ooh, they did great. I like them. This product is great. This clothing is good. I look good in this. So we are. Everything is out there on the internet these days. And you want to be on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a referral-based world.
Right.
Speaking of technology and advancing, I had a client the other day. She came in. She goes, oh, my husband will probably be coming in and out. He's playing with his new Tesla. And I was like, what is he doing? And she's like, he's summoning it out of the parking lot to come pick him up. And I'm like, no way. I went out.
Oh, my gosh.
He was literally, he had pulled it into a parking slot, and he was standing across the parking lot. And he just, on his phone, the car pulls out of the parking lot and comes to him.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. So, I can't wait to get one of my own.
Yeah. So technology is, it's just crazy.
What a cool time.
It's just awesome.
And then, Tina, is there anything else that you want to add, want to tell us about, want to teach us about before we take off today?
You know, look into thermography and, you know, just have an open mind and check it out, and it's totally safe. You can make payments or pay it up, whatever. No, it's literally safe for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nobody that would not benefit from it. So
awesome. And then if folks want to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch
with
you, Tina?
They can call. My office number is 480-284-2222. And then the website is denovoscan.com. That's denovoscan.com.
Awesome. And then, Vanessa, how would they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through emails or my direct line, which is 888-918-2288. And my direct extension is 708. Or they can email me directly at vchack@99boon.com, or they can contact a contact form and online, and they can reach out to Dad as well.
Awesome. Dad, how do they get to you?
It's the same number. The extension is 706. So, and, you know, we also have www.99boon.com. There's some resources there that they can, you know, look through and kind of understand, you know, learn a little bit more about what you're going to get into. And like Vanessa said, you can always contact us. We're more than happy to, you know, get you more knowledge about business intelligence and what it can do.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much to the three of you. This was awesome.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Mac 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some media leans right, but we lean business. Until next time, this is Kinder Maples. Thank you for listening.